morning. How are you? Are you on fire? You excited? I am excited. I just got a message from Patty, her son Jacob, that we've been praying for, who's in hospital. The hospital rang her, and they have taken him out of ICU and bringing him to a normal floor. Amen. They have regulated the medication, and things are moving forward, and we're going to keep believing that everything will be 100% healed in Jesus' name. Can I get an agreement? Come on, agree with me right now. We're going to pray for miracles. If you need a touch from God, if you need the Holy Spirit to do something in your life, this is a God who cares. He is not a religious God. He is not a stuck-up God. He is not so caught up in his own affairs that he doesn't know about our affairs. This is a God who cares. Raise your hand right now. Father, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the blood of Jesus and the power of Jesus' name. We stand together in agreement with each other and for each other, and we declare the blessings of God just like we sang in that song. We release healing, we release breakthrough, we release deliverance, we release mental and emotional deliverance in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that circumstances must bow to the name of Jesus. We are not going to be pushed around by the waves and the wind. We command the natural realm in Jesus' name, and we release the miraculous power of God into our lives and into our families. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, I got so excited I started to dribble. Praise God. Thank you, musicians, sound people, the Grace and Faith kid workers and nursery workers. Thank you for all the work you do. Put your hands together for all of them. Last week, I preached on Matthew 14 and Matthew 15. And in Matthew chapter 14, we saw two things. Number one, it says Jesus had compassion on the sick and he healed them. And then, because the people had been listening to him for quite a while, he didn't want to just send them away. His disciples did. He said, let's feed them. And the disciples said, whoa, that's a year's wages. And Jesus said, is there any food here? And there was five loaves of bread and two fish, and he multiplied it. In chapter 15, we see he does almost exactly the same thing. He does two miracles again. This time, in 14, it says he saw the crowd, he saw the sick, he was moved with compassion. And then he multiplied the bread and the fishes. This time, it says he healed the sick and he saw the people had been with him for 3 days and he was moved with compassion lest someone might faint on their way home. And he decides to feed the multitude. What I love about this, Johnny, is that this is a God who doesn't just care about your salvation. He doesn't just care about healing your physical body. He cares about the circumstances of your life. This is a God who cares. Can I get an agreement? The series is entitled, The God Who Cares. Last week I preached on who gives a D. And for those of you who might be offended, the word is darn. Who gives a darn? And God says, I do. My message this morning is the God who cares is the God who provides. The God who provides. In both stories last week, we saw two different types of miracles taking place. We saw the miracle of healing physical bodies. That was the first. And then we saw the miracle of creativeness, the miracle of overriding natural law and bringing supernatural interaction. And he multiplies the bread and the fish. I shared last week that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, there are some good men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, who believe in the Holy Spirit but don't believe that the Holy Spirit comes with the same power that he did in the days of Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches us, comes with nine fruit. Everybody say nine fruit. And they are the fruit that reflect the character of God, and that fruit is meant to manifest in our life. Now, without putting your hand up, how many of you have a friend, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a husband, or a wife that you would like to see a little bit more fruit manifesting in? I said, don't raise your hand. Because the same is true about them. We all need to grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to take on the character trait, his character trait, his personality. He wants that. But the Holy Spirit, who is often symbolized as a dove, doesn't come flapping with just one wing. He has two wings. And on the other wing, he has nine gifts. And the gifts reveal the power of God. It's so sad that some people get locked into a box theologically and they want to change the nature of the Holy Spirit today and say, well, those miracles aren't for today. The gifts of healing, you can't lay hands on the sick and they get healed. If God's in a good mood, he'll just heal who he wants to heal. And the word of prophecy and the word of knowledge and the gift of miracles, that's not for today. And that's like saying God split the dove down the middle. And the Holy Spirit has only come with the character of God, but not the power of God. Let me tell you, the same way God wants the fruit of his character to manifest in your life, he also wants the gifts of his power to manifest in your life. Turn to somebody and say, I like this preaching. We're not here to dissect the word of God and say, well, I don't believe that for today. Rubbish. This is the God who never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And so he doesn't come with one wing. He comes with both wings. He brings the fruit of the Spirit, and he brings the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? And that's why I am so thrilled that we see so many miracles of healing in this church. But 2 weeks ago, or last Sunday, and leading up to last Sunday, God spoke to me in the wee hours of the morning. I shared that with you last Sunday, and I told you how he specifically, I'm half awake, half asleep, and he brings me to the passage in Matthew 15, where Jesus, he had already healed the sick, the people had been with him 3 days, and he turns to his disciples, and it says he was moved with compassion lest somebody faint on their way home. There was a good 5,000 men plus women and children. Did he think everybody was going to faint? Was he moved with compassion because there'd be mass faintings? No, he was concerned that even one might faint. This is the good shepherd who will run after one sheep. Why wouldn't he be concerned that even one might faint? You see, we bottle God up in this stingy cloud. We think God is a miserly God who you got to step on his foot or twist his arm for him to be happy. And this is a God of abundance. This is a God of joy. This is a God of laughter. This is a God who says, give and it'll be given back to you freely. He is the God of abundance. He is the God of favor. He loves to put his favor on his children. Somebody say yes. Absolutely. I don't believe in a religious God. I believe in the creator of the universe, who is kinder than the kindest human. He is more forgiving than the best forgiver. He is more loving and more understanding than humanity. He gets humanity better than humanity gets itself. I love this God. He is wonderful. And he's our dad. Now turn to somebody and say, he's talking about my dad. Absolutely. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I made the point last week that in verse 9, as Paul is going through the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, in verse 9, he says there is the gift of healing. In verse 10, he says there's the gift of miracles. What is a miracle? A miracle is when supernatural laws override natural laws. Every healing is a miracle, but not every miracle is a healing. I'm going to say it again. Every healing is a miracle. When you get healed supernaturally, the supernatural laws of God have overridden the natural laws of this realm. But there are miracles that have nothing to do with healing. For example, when the walls of Jericho came down, it was an incredible miracle. It was an impossible situation. How many of you have ever faced situations that at first glance you thought to yourself, this is impossible? God is a God of those situations. He said, Jesus said, with man, some things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The gift of miracles is just the outworking of God's character. He's a supernatural God. If you take the miracles out of the equation, God becomes just a natural God. In this relationship, I'm the natural equation. He is the supernatural equation. Do you understand that if you are, how many of you are a natural human being? Stand up if you're a natural human being. I'm going to separate the sheep from the goat. Stand up if you're a natural human being. Okay. Now, there's not a hidden agenda here, so I know some of you are not standing because you think, well, I'm supernatural because I'm a partaker of the divine nature. I get that. But how many of you are flesh and blood? Let me put it that way. You're flesh and blood? This is a relationship of flesh and blood with the divine. This is a relationship of the flesh and blood with the supernatural. Now listen, stay with me. What does that mean? God always intended for the supernatural to interact with the natural. Come on. Amen. All right, you can take your seat. So in verse 10, he talks about miracles. When a widow had run out of food, the prophet said to her, gather as many jars as you can. She was in debt. She was concerned because the people she owed money to might take her sons to do cheap manual labor for them until her debts were paid off, a form of slavery. And the God who cares saw this woman and sends the prophet to her. And he says, gather as many jars as you can. She gathers as many jars. He says, take that little bit of oil and pour it out into the next jar. And it didn't stop until her faith ran out. God filled as much as she could believe for. This is not a skimpy God. This isn't a God who scrimps. This isn't a God that you have to beg and beg and beg just to get a kind word out of. We have to change the picture that religion has painted of God. We have to change the picture that the enemy wants us to see, because the enemy doesn't want you to believe in a God who abundantly wants to love you and lavish you with grace and with, I was going to say with grace and faith. He does want to lavish you with grace and faith. Two excellent qualities. He wants to lavish you with the abundance of his kingdom. He says, give and I'll give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. That's not just about money. Give. God is saying, let me prove to you that in this relationship, I am the larger partner, and it doesn't matter what you give, whether it's your time, whether it's your money, whether it's your forgiveness, whether it's grace, whether it's your talents, whatever you give, I am the larger partner. I will give back, press down, shake it together, running out all over the place. This is not a stingy God. This is a God who, when he multiplies 5 loaves and 2 fish, he not only feeds everyone, the first time round, there's 12 basketfuls left over. Nothing stingy about that. It's very awkward when you go to someone's house to eat and there's just one meatball left on the serving plate. And everyone's looking at it, and no one wants to be the person who takes the last meatball. That's why in Italian culture, you have enough to feed two lots of however many guests you're going to have, so that no one's ever hesitant to take the last spoon. You see? Well, God's the same way. He's Italian. You've heard of God the Father, the Godfather. He's Italian in his culture. He's the God of abundance. And so when Jesus multiplied the first lot of loaves of bread and fish, there are 12 basket loads left over. The second time he does it in the next chapter, there's 5 basket loads left over. But I love the fact in both of those stories, you see the God who cares about the physical need and he heals people. And in the second story, he heals people and now he's moved that one person might faint. And he doesn't give enough so that, oh my God, it was perfect. There's nothing left over. No, that wouldn't really show his heart. It wouldn't really show his compassion. If he reproduced enough just for everyone and there wasn't enough left over, he would not reveal how abundant he is. And so there was 12 basketfuls left over. He's painting a picture. Jesus could have stopped at just enough. You don't think he knew how many people were there? You don't think he could have just, wow, how amazing. We fed exactly enough people. No, he could have painted that picture, but he wanted to paint a better picture. He wanted to paint the picture that really reflects God. He's the God of more than enough. When I was a kid, and even now I'm still a kid, one of my favorite candies are Good and Plenty's. So I like to think of God as the God of good and plenty. He's good and he's got plenty to go around. Come on. Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that God was talking to me to talk to you. I mean, last week I barely had to prepare the message, because in my waking, sleeping, back and forth moments, he outlined the whole thing and showed me the points to make. And in that, he really impressed on me. He said, Rob, your church, you've learned how to move in healings, and that's awesome. I want to enlarge the platform that I can show up on. Teach your church to believe for miracles. That's what he was sharing with me. He wants more of his glory to come out. And so it's not just about healings. We see phenomenal healings and have for a long time. But God wants to start to stress the fact that he is now also the God of miracles. You know, here it was in my heart. We had some Spanish people coming and it was in my heart. We got to do some translation. There are more Spanish people, right? And me and Pastor Carlos talk, we didn't advertise or anything. It was just inside the pastoral team. We had brought Pastor Daniel and Gabriela up from Uruguay to start pastoring the group of Spanish people we had here. But it was in our heart. We want them to hear, the ones who don't understand English enough, to hear it in their language. And God sees us moved with compassion. What does he do? He brings in a spirit-filled businessman who's been in ministry with his wife, with one of the top intercessors in the nation, and he has a business where he translates up to 18 different languages. The 1st of March, the first Sunday in March, in the 9 a.m. service, we are officially launching our translation services. And you won't even see a translator. You'll just hear me preaching the way I am. But those that speak Spanish come with their phone. They will download an app, which is free, and they put their headset in or their ear pods in, and they will hear simultaneously someone translating word for word as I preach. You see, that's a miracle. These guys could have gone to any church. But God saw that. Many of you have heard me tell this story. When God told me to start this church, I said, under one condition, I don't want a white church. I said, I don't want a black church. I don't want a brown church. I want a church of every color, every nationality, because that's the kingdom of God. Yeah. It gives me phenomenal joy. I am so proud of the fact that we have a multicultural church. That's how I'm wired. And so God saw, here's Pastor's heart for Latino people that are coming into this church, and he wants to reach more of the Latino community. So as we are talking, as we are conspiring a good thing, Pastor Carlos gets the genius of ideas, and put something together technology-wise that now when Kajon, the businessman, saw what Pastor Carlos does, even though his business translates to cruise ships that are traveling all over the place, and they translate up to 18 different languages, God has gifted Pastor Carlos with such brilliance that the system that Pastor Carlos came up with out of his own imagination, they are now using on the ships in their business. Yeah. But God sees our heart. He sees our compassion. He sees our willingness to be all things to all men. And he miraculously brings this couple into this church. This isn't a mega church. And he brings this couple into this church. That was a divine intervention. They could have ended up anywhere. They could have been big shots in a mega church. God brings them here because he sees the genuineness of a pastor's heart who will actually bring pastors from another country just to reach the Spanish people in his community. And we're going to go to Portuguese as well, church. And we're going to go to other languages as well, because God is not the God of Americans. He's the God of all nations. Can I get an amen? And so we believe in miracles, every kind of miracles, miracles of circumstance that you can say to yourself, what are the odds of that? And the odds are impossible. But with God, everything is possible. And that's a miracle. And there are going to be many, many more miracles. And God wants you and me as a church to enlarge his platform. He doesn't just want to show up in this church as the God who gets people saved or the God who heals. He wants to show up and be the God who does miraculous things and turns natural disasters into supernatural miracles. Come on, give him a praise offering. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Absolutely. 10 times in the Gospels, it says Jesus was moved with compassion and then he did a miracle. He didn't do miracles to prove he's the Messiah. The prophets prophesied and foretold, and it is written, and that's what proves he's the Messiah. He did miracles because he cares. He did miracles because you matter. He does miracles because his heart hears your heart and he responds. Can I get an agreement? Turn to somebody next to you and ask them, are you getting this? You need to get this. This is important. God does miracles because he cares about you and Jennifer. Wesley and Jennifer, your little boy is important to God, and he does miracles because he knows as a father, you would do anything to see your son well. As a mother, you would do anything to see your son well. And when he first started having those seizures, I bet you wept. It broke your heart. Broke your heart to see your little boy. Is this your firstborn?
Yes.
Okay. God sees, he feels what we feel. And that's why since we've prayed, he hasn't had one seizure, and he's not going to have seizures anymore in Jesus' name. Amen. He doesn't heal to prove who he is. He heals because he loves who we are. Amen. Absolutely. A miracle is... So I said 10 times in the Gospels, he's moved with compassion. 3 times, he's telling a parable where the father figure is symbolic of God, or the authority figure is symbolic of God. And 3 times in the parable, he uses the phrase that that father or that authority figure was moved with compassion. You see, the devil has painted a picture for a long time that God is a God who sits on the judgment seat. And what really irks me, it's almost comical, but it's too sad to be comical. But it's almost comical because from the Old Testament, you know what seat God sits on? A mercy seat. It's the seat of understanding. It's the seat of caring. It's the seat of compassion. He gets us. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm 65 years old. I haven't found another human being who understands me and gets me anywhere close to the way God gets me and understands me. And that's the truth. Other people who make mistakes just like me, when I make the mistake, they're not as understanding of me as they would want someone to be understanding of them. But my Father always gets me, always understands me, and always loves me. And is always there to step in. How many of you have ever met that father? Amen. Yeah, come on, give him a praise offering. The point of this series is this. It's to paint the picture that, number one, God is a God who cares. I just finished saying the devil wants us to see God as a God who sits on a judgment seat. But even from the Old Testament, God revealed himself to Moses as a God who sits on the mercy seat in between two angels. Do you know that God doesn't take that role as a judge? He doesn't sit on the judgment seat till the end of the ages and every life has to give account. But from the beginning of creation till that one short moment in the future, God is the God who sits on a throne full of mercy, compassion, and understanding. How blessed are we? I love the fact that he gets me, you know. I just think it's fantastic. He understands me. He knows how I got to where I am. And if I'm a bit bent, if I have a few chips, if there are a few dents that you could see in Pastor Rob Scarallo, he knows how I got there. If there's some idiosyncrasies and things that, you know, he reacts sometimes. Maybe he'll bite. Maybe there's a knee-jerk reaction. He knows what got me there, and he doesn't judge me by the kinks and the chinks in my armor. He loves me in the moments of my trauma and in my failure. Turn to somebody and say, I needed to hear that. Amen. I want to share with you quickly from Matthew chapter 17, 2 chapters after the last passage that I preached last week. We did 14 and 15 just coincidentally. He heals people and multiplies food so that they could have a banquet. 2 chapters back to back. Chapter 17, Starting at verse 24, after Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter. That was the religious IRS, okay? The temple IRS came and said to him, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Listen, if the IRS comes knocking on your door, I am sure every one of us would be a little bit anxious. Not because we've done anything wrong. It's like when somebody says, hey, the boss wants to see you. The first thing we think is, what did I do wrong? And Peter was no different. He said, yes, he does, he replied. And when Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. I love this. You know why he's the first to speak? This is the God who cares. He already saw Peter being approached by the temple IRS, the tax collectors. And he's the first to speak, and this is what he says. He says, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty or taxes? Do they collect it from their own children? Or will kings collect it from other people? And Peter said, from other people. And Jesus said, you're right. The children are exempt. And Jesus said to him, but even so, we don't want to cause them offense. So go to the lake and throw out your line. Jesus is saying, Peter, we might be exempt, but we don't want to cause offense. Church, pay your taxes. We might be citizens of a higher kingdom, but you don't want to cause the IRS offense. Give to Caesar what Caesar's asking for. But watch what Jesus does. He doesn't go into his money purse and pull out the money. Probably didn't have it. He says, Peter, I want you to go get your fishing line, not your net. Get your line, cast it out. And the very first fish you catch, I want you to open up its mouth because it will have a 4 drachma coin in its mouth. 2 for your taxes and 2 for my taxes. Now let me ask you a question. What's spiritual about that? Why is that wasting space in the Bible? I don't know about you, my Bible's pretty thick. Why is that wasting space in the Bible? Because God says, that's not wasting space. Your natural life matters to me. Yeah. If it concerns you, if it's about you, then it's about me, and it concerns me. You see, the picture that God wants to paint to us is that this is the Father who cares about every facet of your life. He knows who you are. He knows what you go through. He cares about everything that tugs on your heart and every concern. He hears every comment your unbelieving husband says or your unbelieving wife says. And he feels it as much as you feel it, if not more. This is the God who cares. And the God who cares is the God who hears. And the God who hears is the God who heals. And the God who hears is the God who provides. My title this morning is The God Who Provides. Peter owed temple taxes. And Jesus said, I'm going to do a miracle the same way I multiplied bread and fish. Listen, sometimes we can pay our taxes with the money we've earned. But how many of you have ever seen God do a miracle in your circumstances and bring about provisions you didn't have, but supernaturally, it just happened? Absolutely. Look at all the hands. Come on. This is coins in a fish's mouth. These are loaves of bread and fishes being multiplied. And I tell you honestly before God, I stand here today in a prophetic sense, and I tell you that God has spoken to me, and he's asked me, prepare the people to go beyond just the miracle of healings and to start expecting from me miraculous interventions in their natural life. Come on, give him the praise. Give him the glory and the honor. Do you know every time you believe God for a miracle, you are creating a platform for God to show up? And God said to me, Rob, increase the platform. I want to show up even more in your church, Grace and Faith. I want to show up in the lives of my people. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. He wants to show up in your life. He wants to do miracles for you, because when he does a miracle for you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, wow, praise God. And you'll probably turn around and tell at least half a dozen people what happened. You created a platform for the glory of God to manifest. God wants to do miracles, number one, because he cares. If he is willing to die for you, he will fight for you. If he'll go to the cross for you, he will go to hell and bust up the devil's plan against you, because God doesn't have a plan to hurt you. He has a plan to prosper you and to set you free. Somebody say yes. Thank you, Jesus. What a good God, hey. What an awesome God. Peter was concerned about paying his taxes. Instead, Jesus wanted to reveal God's heart that even your taxes are a matter of concern. He doesn't want you to sit on your butt and be lazy. He said, Peter, he could have said, voila. He said, Peter, works and faith. Get off your butt, do something, grab a line, go down to the lake, and God will meet you in your action, and he will bring a supernatural reaction. Praise God. I'm only repeating what's already in the book, but thank you. I'll take it. When you say good preaching, it's like throwing a bone to a dog. It just gets them that much more energetic. Sometimes I think you don't say good preaching because you don't want me to keep preaching too long. I'm kidding. Praise God. All right, stay with me. You know, in Genesis 22, verse 14, God revealed himself. His name, Yahweh, Jehovah, okay? There are nine compounds of that name. He is Jehovah Nissi. I am the Lord your God who will be a banner over you. And you can live and march forward in life knowing that my banner over you is a banner of love. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who will heal. All right? He is Jehovah Shammah, the God who will be present. I love those two names. Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present, and Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He is Jehovah Shammah Rapha, the God who is present to heal. Come on, isn't that good? Absolutely. Some of the Latino people, you women especially, your last names, you hold the last name of your parents, right? And you add, you know how it works better than me. You got three or four last names over there. God has got multiples of Jehovah. And Jehovah Shammah is always present. And Jehovah Rapha is there to heal. And he's always present to heal. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Jireh. He is present to provide. And in Genesis chapter 22, he reveals himself to Abraham as Jehovah who provides. Here, Jesus is letting Peter see that Jehovah is Shammah. He is present, and he is present to provide. Church, we need to increase our expectation that the supernatural God has relationship with the natural, and therefore it is natural in God's kingdom for the supernatural to interact with the natural. Amen. Expect a miracle. Amen. Expect God's intervention. Call on his name. You don't have to twist his arm. Get rid of that pitcher. You don't have to beg him. Get rid of that pitcher. This is the God that when he fed the people, he didn't stop at enough. He stopped at 12 basketfuls too much. I love it. He's not a cheapskate. I'm going to talk to all the women here for a moment. If you're not married, and if you are married, I want you to think back when you weren't married and you were dating. How many women love dating a cheapskate? No. Not one hand. God is not a cheapskate. Come on, everyone, repeat after me. My father is not cheap, and he's not looking for an escape. He will show up and he will give up whatever I need. Amen. Let me show you one more passage before I bring this to a close. In Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 1, Jesus is, it says here, one day he's standing on by the lake of Gennesaret, and the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Again, another useless statement. I mean, the book is already thick. Why add stuff? Why are you padding? Why are you putting trivial information that is irrelevant? Because it's not irrelevant. Jesus took note. Two boats by the shore, fishermen washing their nets. You do not wash your nets before you go fishing. You wash your nets after you go fishing. So he knows they've been out and they've come back. And he's looking at the boats and he's looking at them cleaning nets. And he knows they didn't catch any fish. Important. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little bit from the shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. You know, water's a great way of letting the sound waves carry. And so he was using this dynamics. And he gets out on the water and he's speaking to the crowd and his voice is traveling. And so Jesus uses Peter's boat, the guy who's been out fishing and didn't catch any fish. Can I borrow your boat? Simon, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. He knows they didn't catch fish. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. My arms are aching. We've been at it all night. I am tired. I could fall asleep standing up. If it wasn't you preaching, if it was Pastor Rob, I would have fallen asleep. Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners. There were two boats. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Why didn't Jesus just let them catch enough fish for the day? I love going deep sea fishing. And when we go deep sea fishing, we catch a grouper like this. We catch red snappers like this here. It's awesome. And if we come back with eight fish this size, it's a very, very good trip. We always have very, very good trips. We know how to pray. But my point is, Jesus didn't give them enough. He didn't give them enough to fill one boat. He didn't give them enough to fill two boats. He gave them enough to almost sink two boats. And we've got to get the mentality that this is a God who loves us so much, he wants to sink us in his abundance. I'm not just talking prosperity. I'm not just talking monetary things. I want you to understand that God wants to interact in your natural life in a supernatural way, in such an abundant way that he wants to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. He is not the God of misery. He is not the God of misery. He is the God of abundance. He wants to bless you. He wants to do a miracle where your son is unbelieving and gone into the world just like the prodigal, where your daughter has become rebellious and turned away and relationship is broken. This is the God of abundance. And when he rescues a son and he rescues a daughter, it is a miracle from heaven. The supernatural laws of God override the broken, rebellious, fallen laws of the natural realm. Miracles. God wants you to expect his intervention in your life, because every time you get a miracle, you fall down and give glory to him, and then you tell everybody your story. And God's platform is enlarged. Amen. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." This was early on in their encounters with the Christ. They were not followers of Jesus yet, because right after this story, Jesus says, "You're fishers of men. Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of fish. You're fishermen. Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." So here's Peter in his early encounter with God, and he sees this amazing abundance, such grace. They worked so hard all night, and yet this man commanded supernaturally for the fish to come to their boat and to get into their nets. Peter falls at Jesus' knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. You know what Peter did? They marveled. You know what James and John did? They saw this impossible thing. What are the odds? This never happened. And they catch so many fish that two ships are sinking. They were in awe. They were in reverence. They understood God, Jehovah Shammah, had just showed up. He's present. And Jehovah Jireh, the provider, is revealing his heart. And they start to worship. Listen, God does miracles not so that you worship him. God does miracles because he loves you. Get it in your heart. Get it in your head. God doesn't do miracles to show up, to show off. He doesn't do miracles to prove a thing. He does miracles because he loves you. He saw you the moment you were born, and the joy that was in your mother's heart and the joy that was in your father's heart in that moment doesn't come close to the joy that was in God's heart. He loves you that much. You matter to him that much. He cares about you that much. We've got to rebuke the religious demons that have spoken to us through church liturgy. We've got to rebuke demonic doctrines that have gotten into the church, just like Paul says. People want to tell you, "Well, God doesn't do that today." No, he does. He is still the same. Listen, you come here Sunday after Sunday, and I'm pretty much going to be the same Rob Scarallo. And yet, I can be unfaithful. Here's God who is always faithful. He is the master of faithfulness. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to bank on something, bank on the Word of God. Bank on Jesus Christ. Bank on the character of God. Bank on the Holy Ghost, because when we turn to God, God is already Shama. He is present. Come on, give him a hand. Thank you, Jesus. God does miracles through the eyes of compassion. Every miracle Jesus did, he was moved with compassion. When Peter came running in, the IRS from the temple's here. Jesus already knew the scenario, and he starts the conversation. And he gives Peter direction for a supernatural encounter. We see a lot of healings, but I'm telling you now, God wants us to enlarge our faith and our thinking. He wants a bigger platform here, a grace and faith, because he wants to show up and perform miracles in your lives. I don't mean just in the church service, in your lives. I'm preaching this sermon so you take it home and you build a platform around your life, a platform of expectations. Say, God, I believe that you're the God of the miraculous. You're not just the God of healing. You're going to do miraculous things. You're going to save my son, my daughter. You're going to turn my business around. You're going to provide. You're going to deliver. You're going to do whatever it is. The things that make us go, wow, are the things that are normal for you. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Would you stand with me? Next weekend, we have a ladies' meeting. But at the same time, we're going to have a men's meeting. We're going to do something a little different than we normally do. I know it's very short notice, Zach, but we're going to do something we don't normally do. And so, Zach, I'd love you to show up. Andrew, I'd love you to show up. Every man, Greg, I'd love you to show up. Dr. Tom Renfro, the medical doctor who's been healed of multiple tumors that gave him weeks to live. He's preached in this church before. He and his wife, Sid, who is the daughter of a mountain prophet, had an amazing story how her daddy got saved. They were one day they were moonshining, creating illegal liquor, and the next day the family gets saved and they have an encounter with God. And this man was a seer. He was powerful in the spirit, and that anointing is still on Sid. And Sid will be preaching here to the ladies. And because Dr. Tom is here, and as a medical doctor, not limited by medical science, a man of faith, he sees many miracles in their ministry. We've asked Dr. Tom if he would talk with the men in the next room. So we're going to join the ladies for worship. We're going to separate. Sid's going to fire you up in the Holy Ghost. We're going to sit with Tom and let him speak into our lives as men. And then, guys, we get to raid the ladies' lunch. And all the ladies are worried because men are voracious eaters. You know what's going to happen? God's going to take the loaves of bread and he's going to multiply. I promise you there'll be enough. And let me say something. You say, but I got kids. What am I going to do with the kids? Bring the kids. You know how my family, my parents raised me? We were at every church meeting. There was no nursery. So I don't care if the kids are in there with the men, or if they're here with the ladies. It won't hurt them for a little bit of Holy Ghost to fall on them. I grew up in prayer meetings. My mother, she's this tall. She's with Jesus now, so she's a lot taller. But she's this tall. And she would always say, you kids were barely 2 weeks old and I'd have you in church. I grew up under the presence of God. We went to prayer meetings. Mom had three boys, three Italian New York boys. That's a pretty hot pepperoni sandwich. And she would take us to church with Dad, and they would be out the front. In those days, we'd have prayer meetings, and they'd be kneeling at the altar. And I grew up crawling between my mom's legs and patting her on the face and saying, "Mommy, why are you crying? Are you sad?" She says, "No, I'm happy." It took me years to understand. You cry when you're happy. She's worshiping God. But that anointing never got wasted. We get so pedantic today. Stop listening to every little thing medical science says. You bring your kids to church, it's not going to kill them, it's going to bless them. They'll catch the anointing. So much of what's in my life and on my life started in my childhood. I was that sickly little kid that couldn't be washed in water. They couldn't touch me with water. They had to wash me with baby oil. They couldn't feed me mother's milk. They couldn't feed me formula. They had to feed me goat's milk. Instead of crying, I'd gone, I was that sickly kid. Everything was wrong with me. I had sunken in shoulders as I was growing. My brothers felt sorry for me. I was constantly being taken to the doctors. And my mom and dad would constantly drag me out on a Sunday morning down to the front altar so that the elders could pray for me. And I hated it. I remember going like this here, you know, and they'd bring me down the front and they'd be crying and I didn't understand. And then these people with bad breath would lay hands on me and start praying on me and spitting at me. That's the Italian way. Here we anoint you with oil. We don't spit. I didn't understand it. I understand it now. But God healed me as a little boy, set me free. I was about 10 years old. My parents went to Australia as missionaries. I was 10 years old, Chris, missing my grandma and grandpa, missing my cousins. And I would sit in the living room on a Saturday morning, still in my pajamas, and I would pull out the hymn book from the Italian church back in America, and I would start singing songs. And one day I pulled out a book my dad had, and it was a manual on healing, how God heals. And as I started to read it, I was only 10 years old. God said to me so clearly, "I'm going to use your life to heal people." Listen, you worry so much about your children. Get them in church. Get them in church. It won't hurt them. It will straighten them. It won't curse them. It will bless them. Bring them to prayer meetings. Let them sit under the anointing. I spent most of my childhood in church, and every bit of it is part of the reservoir inside of me. I thank God for my parents, that they were godly, and they had us in church from day one, and we soaked in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I've been cured of multiple incurable diseases, Crohn's being only one of them, Hashimoto's disease. And one day I got fed up and I said, "God, if it's Hashimoto's disease, I'm giving it back to him in Jesus' name." But multiple incurable diseases, why do I move in the anointing of miracles and healings? Why have I been able to have faith to pray for, literally at a conference, we ran out of food. For an Italian, you might as well make a noose and hang yourself, because there's nothing more embarrassing than not having enough food for your guests. And the cooks come running to me, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" I said, "Tell the servers not to look in the pot. Just look at the people and keep serving." We had leftovers. Why? You underestimate the importance of your children being in church. So this coming Saturday, ladies meeting, don't worry about a nursery. You don't need a nursery. Have them here. They may not intellectually understand a raspberry, but their spirit inside of them is not limited to age. The mind of the spirit understands what the natural mind does not understand. You're giving your children something well beyond the college degree. Trust me. Trust me. God wants you to believe for miracles, not just healings. He doesn't want to be the one gift God, just the God of healing. He wants to be the God of all the gifts. All of them reflect the power dimension of who He is. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to make a resolution today. You're not going to limit God to healing. You're going to start expecting His miraculous interventions. He'll save your son in a way you could never imagine. He'll save your daughter. He will do miracles. He'll turn circumstances around. He'll get your wife's attention or your husband's attention. This is the God of supernatural laws, and He overrides natural laws. Amen. If this relationship, if you're natural and He's supernatural, it's the very evidence that God wants the supernatural to interact with the natural. Repeat after me. God, I trust You, and I believe You. You are my everything. You're my miracles. You're my deliverance. You're my healing. You're my financial breakthrough. You're my circumstance changer. I look to You and I expect miraculous things. God, I'm not going to take off Your supernatural character. I'm going to let You be who You are every day of my life. You're not cheap. You're not stingy. You're not miserly. You're the God of abundance. And I thank You, God, that You're going to be abundant in my life. Forgive me for having a small picture of who You are. I'm enlarging the picture. I'm enlarging the platform around my life. God, show up. Yours is the power. Yours is the kingdom. And Yours is the glory. I expect it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 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 Now, before we go, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes one more time, because the most important thing is about to happen right now. And that is, I'm going to take the net that catches men and women, and I'm going to throw it out there. If you're here today and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, buddy, lady, listen, this is where it begins. This is the best. This is where humanity touches divinity, and we become a partnership. Maybe you walked with Jesus when you were a kid, but you've walked away. Today is the day of salvation. Today, the Father wants the prodigal son and daughter to come home. So while every eye is closed, if you are here and you need to ask Jesus in your heart, you've never done it. I don't care if you're a good Catholic. I don't care if you're a good Baptist. I don't care if you're a good grace and faith person. I don't care. That's not what counts. Have you let Jesus Christ come into your heart? Have you given permission to take over your life? If you've never done it and you're ready to do it today, come on, put your hand up right now with me. Lift your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. Today, I want to be born again. Those of you that are watching online, I encourage you right now to pray this prayer with me. And everyone here, just join with me. Dear God, I believe You love me. I believe You care. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. Jesus, You are God. I welcome you to come into my life. I've made mistakes. I've sinned. I've done wrong. Jesus, forgive me. And from this day forward, I want to live in relationship with you. Thank you, God, for hearing me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life right now. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins and breaking the chains of darkness. Today, I let the blood of Jesus cleanse me and set me free. Amen. Amen. If you are a born-again son or daughter of God, come on, put your hands together and give him a praise offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, look at me one last time before you go. If you're a first-time visitor, please join me in the foyer. We have coffee and free cake, but look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I'm telling you as a prophet of the Lord that God woke me in those early hours of the morning, and he said, preach to them that I care enough to do miracles of all sorts. Church, let's build a platform for God to show up. Amen. Yeah, give them a praise offering. Turn around, say hello to half a dozen people. Don't leave without connecting with someone. God bless you, church.